Greetings and welcome to another Fireside Chat. Tonight, I'm thrilled to have Mahala Gale returning for our second show together. This is an auspicious occasion as many cosmic events are coming together at this time. As many of you know, Mahala is an astrologer, writer, lecturer, and minister. She is one of the founders of the Asclepius Light Center, the editor of the Asclepius Light Center newsletter since 1988, and the writer and editor of the Planet Alert articles, which have appeared in many publications over the years. Mahala has studied the science of astrology since the early 1980s, and her knowledge of all great prophecies contributes to a multidimensional view of our changing world. So let's welcome Mahala to the show and find out what's coming on planet Earth. Oh. Hi, Mahala.
Hi. Nice to be here.
Wonderful. I'm really happy to have you back on the show since there are so many impending events that you've shared with me and other people are talking about, and it seems appropriate that you'd be on the show before they happen.
Right, yeah.
I think the first of these is the 999 Energy Gateway. Is that it?
Uh-huh. All right, yeah, but... before we start that, can I wish you a happy birthday?
Oh, thank you. You
yeah.
too. You
yeah,
too.
Right. Yeah, because both of our birthdays are right here in the middle of all of this energy that's going on.
Yes,
being
they
on
are,
the
12th
and mine the 13th.
Yes, yes.
That's exciting.
How fortuitous is that?
Right, yeah.
No accidents there, I don't think.
Right. Yeah. So anyways, with the 999, that's pretty exciting because, you know, the number 9 is completion and it's initiation and and it's the Christ level vibration.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just really exciting and it's like a completion. And so a lot of things will be coming to an end and a new beginning. And so with the doorways open, actually... there was a Stargate that opened on August 21st,
uh-huh.
And boy, have I been! My body has been experiencing it since then. Today is the first day since then that I woke up without my body hurting, and so it feels like back to normal. I thought, oh my, thank you, this is so great. So, any other people that are out there experiencing all of these this body pain that has been so tremendous since August 21st?
Mm-hmm.
You know that the end is coming in sight here.
Okay.
It's a rewiring process.
Oh.
And I had a lady that called me just a few minutes ago, and she said, what is going on? I have all of this noise in my head. She says, I just got it today. And and I says, well, I don't know, but I think it's part of the rewiring process.
Wow.
You know, so if anyone else is having that same experience too, this too shall pass.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Good. It seems like for a while now, I've had ringing in my ears, and sometimes it's like a fax machine is so loud.
Uh-huh.
And, at times it shifts from the right to the left or back and forth, and some people channel that way. They actually use those as tunes or as signals to when they're just before they're receiving some information. So it wouldn't be surprising if that was a download of some sort.
Uh-huh. Oh, that's a possibility.
Mm-hmm.
But when it's happening to you, you know, it doesn't feel the greatest.
No.
Uh-huh. But I'm usually kind of like a barometer of what's going on with the rest of the people because I'm an empath and pick up everything.
Uh-huh.
And so if I woke up today feeling good, maybe we're starting to get through the rewiring process.
Oh, yes, that'd be wonderful.
Yeah, right. And then there will be lots of... different celebrations or gatherings going on for the next couple of days with the 999 and stuff. And I know I got an email from one person where they have a group. She's from South Africa, and they had a group that are going to Israel and the Pyramid, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so what they're doing today, they anchored 24 prosperity seeds, 12 citrine and 12 garnet stones, and they were having help with that, you know, as they were. And then tomorrow on the 999,
uh-huh.
And what they're saying is that this is a galactic golden egg of peace, Christ grid activation.
Huh.
And so they'll be linking up energetically with the pyramids, the Sphinx, and under the guidance of Mary Magdalene and the 1440 Desert Masters of Universal Christ,
uh-huh.
they will... they will be led into the Palladian portals that will transport them into their light bodies to the original templates of golden Christ-like consciousness.
Wow.
And what they're saying in this email is that the egg will be held within the heart chakra of the Sphinx, and an identical replica will be implanted within the heart chakra of all participating souls.
Huh.
And the golden egg also represents the anchoring and the activation of the nine-pointed, ninth-dimensional, and ninth universal star grid of Christ light. And did you know that there was a crop circle on August 4th of the nine-pointed stars?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, and it was like there was three different nine points on it. I mean, like it was a round circle with nine points on it, and then there were two other circles within it. And so I thought, well, that's representing the 999.
Oh, yeah.
And so what else this email says is, prepare yourself for one of the most powerful days of spiritual history being made as humanity is blessed with a divine Christ light of peace. The 999 portal will grant all souls yet another opportunity to accelerate their illuminated journey, as well as the opportunity to transmute the effects of the wounds of denial that have left many feeling disconnected, unloved, unworthy, and at war within themselves.
Huh.
And so I find this so interesting because the Sphinx, you know, is a symbol of Virgo and Leo. It has the body of a lion and the head of a woman.
Uh-huh.
And so this is like zero point changing the neutral part, you know, mm-hmm. where we go from one cycle into another. Mm-hmm. And so with that happening, you know, like right now, because Saturn's just moved into Virgo, and so Saturn's activating that energy. And so with that whole group over there at the Sphinx, you know, on the pyramids right next to it, you know, they'll be anchoring that energy for the rest of us. And so if a lot of people can join in with them,
uh-huh.
you know, I think that that will be very, very, very powerful. And so this particular group is going to be at the Sphinx.
Okay.
And then I got another email from another group that's going to be at the pyramid at the same time on the 999.
Huh.
And so, you know, if we send out a whole lot of energy, you know, like, because there's always more power in combined thought.
Uh-huh.
And so if we can do that, maybe we can alleviate or neutralize, you know, some of the major events that appear to be coming here.
Yeah.
Yeah, but there's another one thing, you know, because like September 13th is really the turning point in the Bible prophecies as I see it, you know,
uh-huh.
because of the peace treaties being signed, you know, September 13th, 1993, by the Yasser Arafat, Clinton, and the president of Israel.
Uh-huh.
And then that was like the 7 years of tribulation there, and then that ended in September of 2000. And so here we are 7 years later in September of 2007, September 13th of 2007. And so I've been really waiting for a long time for this particular point in time because I think that this is the switchover point,
uh-huh.
you know, where we really do move into the higher new earth
wow.
type of thing.
Wow.
And then what this group is going to do on... They're having another ceremony on September 13th,
mm-hmm.
and they will be linking up with Mount Zion, the site of the Last Supper, and Mary Magdalene will be conducting a violet golden flame activation to anchor the feminine goddess in the area ruled by the dogmatic and patriotic energy in Jesus' day.
Mm.
And so it says that they will be removing the holographic implants anchored by the ancient Romans and clearing layers of abusive imprints that have been holding the victim matrix in place in this area.
Wow.
And this is also linked to the torture Jesus experienced at the hand of Pilate.
Uh-huh.
And so, anyways, they're going to, you know, kind of release through their process or their ceremonies to release these implants that have been in that area, you know, for this all this time.
Uh-huh.
And so that's really exciting. And so... if everyone else can focus on releasing all of their, you know, things from the past, it's a perfect time to do it because there's no reason for anyone to suffer anymore. You
right.
know, we've suffered enough being light workers and going through the challenges that we've all gone through.
Mm-hmm.
And so it is time for a break. And I don't know about you, But on Friday, I got so many emails and so many phone calls, like all day long, about people saying, "What is up? What is up?" You know, that they're all feeling like something is just about to happen.
Uh huh.
You know.
Well, that's interesting because I went up to Mount Shasta with a friend of mine, Liz Miller, who has the Otherwear show. And she went up to, she wanted to go to Shasta to interview, do a video interview with Amora Kuan Yin.
Uh-huh.
And so on Friday, we were there at her house, you know, and I was shaking, holding the camera because it's, yeah, I've never done it before. And so we spent an hour and a half talking about a lot of this stuff. And we went up to Mount Shasta and visited a couple of spots, but I didn't see any Lemurians there, and I didn't visit Telos, but
uh-huh.
but you know it was a very uplifting experience, and you know we also went into one of the crystal shops there, and she was led to purchase some holographic bowls, which are just magnificent.
Uh-huh.
And the person who I think she's—I'm not sure if she owns the shop or it doesn't matter. She works there. Gave us demonstrations and talked about, you know, how they work, and then we went into a room with Lemurian crystals that had been found on the, you know, in the sand.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it was just an amazing experience. So, you know, I feel like all of that is going to, you know, has had its effect. It's going to, it's kind of coming, sort of bubbling up, you know.
Uh-huh.
Well, one of the things that you mentioned, the pyramids and the Sphinx,
uh-huh.
Isn't it said that they're set to release their information when the planet, when we, as humans, reach a certain vibration?
That's right now.
It's now.
Right now, as
so,
we speak.
So you're saying that this is the time.
This is the time.
Finally?
Finally.
You mean
this,
we can...
This is the time.
I sure hope you're right. It seems like it's been an awfully long 4.5 billion years to me.
It has.
Yeah.
It really, really has.
Wow, yeah.
Yeah, but there'll still be a lot of events happening. I mean, you know, because there's still what's considered dark events, you know, happening because as the system and everything goes down, you know, that can be looked at as like a bad event, but it's not really because the system has to go down so the new one can come in.
Right.
And we're right on the verge of that right now.
Yeah.
And that's what several people were really concerned about on Friday because I guess the dollar dropped below 80 on the foreign exchange board or whatever it is.
Oh.
And that's kind of like the critical point.
Uh-huh.
You know, where everyone starts getting really nervous. You know?
Yeah. Well, and then we had a blip on the radar screen with the subprime mortgages.
Right.
And then the Fed patched that up real quickly, and then it seemed to be smoothed over, kind of like a Band-Aid, but that's not going to last long. That's like putting your finger in the dike.
That's right, yeah.
You know.
And then I got an email that was sent by a friend that was from Ron Paul, you know, the congressman.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And he's saying that the dollar is just, you know, there's no way of stopping it, that, you know, as far as he's concerned, that it's just going to go because it kind of has to so that the whole money system can change.
Yeah.
Because whoever controls the money controls the world.
That's right.
And so this is a time where all the controllers are going down, and you can just watch the news, you know.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I don't think that anyone that was in Bush's cabinet when he came in is still there.
Yeah.
You know, they've all left. and then with the Attorney General leaving too,
yeah,
you know, that's really, really interesting. And so it's like they're all wanting to get out because they know that something's coming,
uh-huh,
and that there's a real change in there, in the whole system.
Well,
and so some people say that we're going to have a whole new money system. You know, they're saying by September 21st.
Uh-huh.
And, I mean, I don't know if that's true or not, although it's the Mars is opposing Pluto at that particular time,
uh-huh,
which is kind of the climax of it as far as I can see. So, but I don't know for sure, you know, but we can just tell as time goes on. And so, but September is going to be full of changes, and you're going to have a lot of changes in your life, too, because it's your birthday and at the solar eclipse.
Uh-huh.
You know, aren't we lucky to have a solar eclipse on our birthday?
Well, we'll see.
or real close to it.
Yeah, tell us about the solar eclipse. What does that portend?
Like in your personal chart, because the sun is opposing the planet Uranus or Uranus. You know, I like to call it Uranus because it sounds better to me for some reason.
I like it too.
Yeah, and so that's a planet of change. And when that comes up to oppose your sun, changes start happening in your life really fast.
Mm.
And Uranus is the wake-up planet.
Oh.
And so, and it's also the electrical planet. And so with this, this makes this eclipse extremely important because of both the sun and moon opposing Uranus. And so this is a major, so things are going to happen that's going to be a major wake-up call for everyone because of that being in effect at the eclipse time, along with a mother cross, because there's a, you know, like in 1999 when they had that major eclipse that has, as because it was like, well, they say that for 1 year, for the as long as eclipse is, like I think that was 7 or 8 minutes, you know, that's as long as the effects of the eclipse last. When you have a really powerful one, a total solar eclipse like that one was over England and France and the Middle East. And at that time, there was a fixed cross in the heavens. And so this was like the sun cross or the crucifixion type of a cross, you know?
Okay.
And so that's why so many people have gone through so much drama since that particular solar eclipse, you know? And so now we're moving into the mutable cross or the mother cross.
Oh.
And so this has a different energy with it. And this is more of a changeable cross. You know, because like fixed signs are fixed, you know, they're fixed, and you're going to look at your dark side whether you want to or not. And now with immutable, it's more active with lots and lots of stuff happening, you know, because it's fast moving. Well, it's not really fast moving, but lots of changes happen with it. And so with the Uranus opposing the sun and moon, there will be lots and lots and lots of changes.
Oh.
And then Mars. Mars is squaring Uranus. And see, this solar eclipse, this is a partial eclipse, so it's not as powerful as a total solar eclipse.
Okay.
But it's still powerful. But like a lunar eclipse, the lunar eclipse we had on August 28th, now that was really fast moving, and so the events happen faster from a lunar eclipse. And so being that the lunar, wherever the lunar eclipse is seen, like over the United States and Mexico, you know, in Central America.
Okay.
And so what did we have at the time of the lunar eclipse? We had a Category 5 hurricane coming in.
Oh, yeah.
Right afterwards, just shortly afterwards. And then we had that other hurricane, the two hurricanes coming in at the same time, went up the Baja coast.
Okay.
And then we had the 6.3 earthquake in the Gulf of California. You know, so all that was a manifestation of that eclipse because that's where the darkness was seen. And that's why eclipses have such a bad connotation, you know, because usually kind of like what's considered negative events happen after it.
Okay.
And so that was really fast acting. Well, now we have the solar eclipse, and so this, you know, I think that things will happen faster with the solar eclipse because of the planet Uranus in there.
Okay.
You know, which will bring lots of changes, and I think that this month, I think that the changes are going to start happening really fast. Well, they have been pretty fast, come to think of it, the whole summer.
Yeah.
You know, with all the flooding in the Midwest and all the fires and everything and over in Europe and the flooding in England and you know, all the things that, and all the hurricanes that went into China and Japan and stuff, you know.
Uh-huh.
There has been, if you really sit down and think about it, there has been one event right after another.
Yeah.
But I think that something a little larger is coming in September. And it might just be because, like in Meg Blackburn's channeling, you know, she says that September 14th at 6:02 in the morning Eastern Standard Time is the climax of the rewiring that we're going through.
Oh.
And at that time there'll be a tear in the fabric of creation.
Okay.
And then with that, that creates a void. And then this void within us will fill with light. And so this could be the great awakening that Uranus brings, with it being in opposition to the sun and moon at this particular solar eclipse.
Wow.
And so that's really exciting to look forward to. And so I know we've been going through the rewiring process, you know, because I felt it. And another thing that happened to me when I was trying to write my planet alert, which wasn't this past week, but it was a week before that, it was like my brain would not work. It was so weird. It took me all week to write it, you know. I try to write it, and then I have to go back and change it, and the next day change it again and change it again because the right words wouldn't come out, my hands wouldn't work right in the typing.
Wow.
And it was just so weird.
Huh.
You know, it was just like my whole brain was being rewired.
Wow. Didn't you have some experiences with electrical stuff as well?
Oh, yeah, that was really kind of funny. Well, my friend of mine, she really got it with, because we're both sitting on vortexes, and she lives right, I live on a hill, and there's a huge crystal under my house, you know, and it's kind of like a vortex here.
Uh-huh.
And then she lives across the valley from me on another vortex, a stargate. And so when things happen here, they happen there too.
Okay.
And then about 2 miles from my house, there's this sacred site that not many people know about.
Huh.
And they found artifacts there that are 30 million years old.
Whoa.
And it's the Indian legend here that that was where creation began, you know?
Okay.
And so I don't know how true that is or not, but that is the Indian legend.
Uh-huh.
And so there was a group of people that had gotten together a couple of years ago, and last I heard, they had raised enough money to buy the sacred site, so it will be kept sacred, you know. But right now, there's kind of like a trucking company on there. Yeah, so, but anyways, when the doorway opened, because, well, my friend had told me, the one that had all of these challenges on there, that the doorway, you know, to the Sphinx would open on between August 25th and 28th.
Uh-huh.
Well, it happened just a few days before that. It actually happened on the night of the 21st because that's when everything hit us, you know.
Okay.
And she actually got a thing in her brain where it totally made her semi-conscious for 4 hours.
Wow.
You know, it just affected her whole brain. And then all the phones in her house went out except one, and the TV was fried.
Huh.
And at my house, a light bulb exploded and the whole lamp burned out. And
wow.
My wristwatch was fried and... I wasn't too happy about that, because that was my favorite watch. But that was an example of what happened. Oh, and then this same friend called me a couple days ago, and she said that this friend of hers had these three bowls, you know, like the crystal baking bowls that you use.
Uh-huh.
And she lives in the Midwest. And so she had taken out these three bowls, and she set them on her cabinet, and she took the one bowl out, and she was going to use that, you know, for her baking.
Uh-huh.
And then I don't know exactly how it happened, but that bowl fell on the floor. You know, like it was pushed there. And so she cleaned that all up, you know. And then she was going to use the second bowl.
Uh-huh.
And then the same thing happened to that.
Strange.
And then she was going to use, so she said, well, I just got one left, you know, and so she was going to use that one. And that one did the same thing.
Oh,
and when
goodness.
The third one broke, she got this loud and clear. There's a tear in the fabric of creation, in the grid.
Huh.
And so apparently that's been going on, you know, for like about 5 days.
Wow.
And so what Meg Blackburn was talking about, you know, that has actually started, and then the climax of it, I guess, you know, according to her, comes on the 14th in the morning then.
Wow. So that's... Well, this is all at the same... Basically, this is all happening at the same moment.
Right.
I mean, in galactic terms, I mean, it's within a week or so, and that's just like a nanosecond.
Right.
Wow.
And so with these people over in Egypt right now, you know, the Sphinx and the Pyramid, okay, with this grid going down, you know, and the grid that's going down is the negative one.
Oh, good.
You know, that holds all of this negative energy in it.
Uh-huh.
And so with all of the, you know, the suffering and the, victim and all that kind of stuff.
Right, right.
You know, that's what's going down. And so it's just a matter of time with the tear already in it, you know.
Oh, yeah.
It's just a matter of time before the whole thing just collapses.
Well, that would certainly throw religion on its ear, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it sure will.
No more suffering and no more...
Right.
Yeah, yeah, because I think it's pretty much based on suffering and... sacrifice and victimhood and so on and so forth.
Right, yeah. They must have been Virgos because Virgo is a sign of suffering and victimhood.
Yeah, wearing your hair shirt and torturing yourself.
Right, yeah, definitely.
The whatchamacallit that you use on your back.
Uh-huh,
but,
right.
So
the people, because Saturn is in Virgo, you know, like right now for 2 years, hopefully that whole thing, you know, will be gone as Saturn moves there, because, you know, Saturn brings the lessons, you know, it has been, but now that we're changing, Saturn's going to bring the rewards.
Oh, well, it's about time.
yes, it definitely is. But it might be kind of hard on the people who are still sleeping.
Yeah.
You know, and not aware of everything that's going on. But, when they do wake up, then it's going to be our job to help them, because we've already gone through it all,
uh-huh.
You know, for a long time.
Huh.
And so this is really kind of like the time we've been waiting for. And so they're going to need our help a whole lot.
Right,
you know, because
right.
There's going to be so many changes, you know. And I think that there's going to be a whole new governing system, for lack of a better word,
uh-huh.
That will kind of like someone who organizes things, you know, like maybe in a group that organizes stuff instead. I don't like to say governing because I don't like the control thing.
I don't either.
Yeah. And so I think that this has all been worked on, and I think that all the people that are going to take over are in the background, and I think that at the right time it's just going to come forward, and people will be amazed and said, well, where did all this come from? And it'll already be there.
And it's been, you know, worked out or put in place over decades, probably.
Right.
Yeah, I try to keep in touch with the, you know, the UFO and ET connection as well. And it's said that there's a lot of activity going on behind the scenes with you know, our star families.
Right.
And so, you know, that's something that might... come out from the wood under, you know, from the woodwork as well.
Right.
So.
And so, to me, that's really, really exciting.
Yep, definitely.
You know, to think that we may finally have a world of peace, you know.
Well, I'm not going to hold my breath, but I'm certainly looking forward to this. Eventually, we will. I
uh-huh.
mean, because the world that's you know, not peaceful can't.
Right.
You know,
there's always a transition point.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and what kind of starts this month, you know, it will accelerate up until Jupiter and Pluto are conjunct in Sagittarius and conjunct the galactic center.
Okay.
You know, because you know how large Jupiter is.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's huge.
It's huge.
And so for Jupiter and Pluto to be together, because Pluto is a little tiny planet, but it is so powerful.
Huh.
Pluto has been what has been transforming the Earth, you know, for several years now. And so with it being conjunct Jupiter, I mean, can you imagine the amount of light that's going to come to Earth?
Wow.
When that's there? That might be when we're, you know, like, I think I heard quite a while ago that there'd be like, I don't know, 10 or 12 days of light, you know, or something like that.
Uh-huh.
There's a possibility that could happen in December with that particular lineup.
Of this year?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Ah.
Right.
You know, a lot of people are talking about December as being another major turning point or shift in what's going on.
Yes, it is. It very definitely is, you know, because that would be kind of the climax of Jupiter, you know, moving through the Sagittarius too.
Ah.
And so Pluto's been in Sagittarius between 10 to 15 years.
Oh.
You know, and that's why, because Sagittarius rules the banking system.
Okay.
And there's been so much going on with the banking system behind the scenes.
Yeah.
In the last few years. And so this year, with Jupiter there too, you know, there's been an emphasis on that particular area. So being an astrologer and looking at it from that point of view, being that Pluto is a transformer, I see the money system as being transformed.
Okay.
And probably a new one coming forward.
Right.
You know, and so if they do, like, close the banks or something, you know, when this turnover happens, then on the other side of it, I think that they'll come out with this new money system.
But you don't think that that's, I mean, on the negative side, it would be something like the, you know, the New World Order coming out with the Amero and the Euro. But on the positive side, you're saying that that would all be eliminated because that's part of the darkness and the corruption that's going on.
Right, yeah. So it's going to be kind of hard to tell, you know, because there are both working simultaneously right now.
Right.
But with so much light coming in, you know, it's going to be very, very difficult for the dark. And so it's like the dark will be going down, you know.
Right,
because they,
right.
You can only, if your body is dark, you can only handle, you can't handle all the light coming in.
Right, right.
And
even
so
light workers,
you just kind of fade away into the sunset.
Oh, that would be nice.
Yeah.
Boy.
And so all of these ones, because when we're taught, because, see, with the, like, the fourth dimension, you know, the controllers have had control of the fourth dimension.
Uh-huh.
And that's where all of the dark side is, and that's where the war and the controllers and all that have manifested, you know.
Okay.
And this has been, well, it's been going on for a long time, but it's been really, really intense since 1987.
Yes.
And so at the harmonic convergence, the positive side was that we moved into the fourth dimension. But the negative side was that's where all the controllers and all of the garbage is.
Right, right.
You know, so you had to look through all of your dark side, you know, and release it. And all of the darkness is out there. It's only a reflection of mass consciousness anyway.
Uh-huh.
And so with this tear in the matrix, you know, and that being the dark thoughts that have created this matrix around the world,
uh-huh.
With that starting to come down, you know, then it will disintegrate. And then so when you move above the fourth dimension,
uh-huh.
That's when you start getting into the peaceful vibration. And we're reaching that point right now.
Wow.
You know, we're at the turning point of it.
Uh-huh.
I'm not going to say that everything's going to be bliss tomorrow, you know.
Right.
Because there's still some things that have to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But we're at the turning point right now as we speak.
How does that work in phase into the Mayan calendar, which says that in November of 2007 we enter into the dark night? I think it's the sixth day, or the, you know, it's like the it's the day before the last day, and it's supposed to be the darkest period of all.
Uh huh. Yeah, it probably will be because of the energy coming up. Well, that's really kind of weird because there'll be all this light coming in December. Mm. That what that will cause will be a lot of darkness in the event of Earth changes.
Uh huh.
What people will consider dark.
Okay.
But the light will be coming, but the dark will be happening. But in the Mayan calendar, from last November to this November of November 24th. It's been the return of Quetzalcoatl,
right?
Which is the Christ energy, and so we're right, you know, almost to the end of that, you know. So if we can jump into the higher frequency, you know, those that can jump and manifest, who've been going through the rewiring and can manifest a higher frequency, then they'll be okay as all of these earth changes and stuff happen, you know. And we'll be able to manifest the light. And so it's kind of hard, you know, when you have both going on simultaneously, you know. We'll say, oh, this is going to be totally wonderful, you know, but yet the earth changes will be here.
Right, right, right. Well, what are some things that people can do personally to focus on the higher? What would you recommend?
Well, I think that the main thing is to, you know, clear any... to really focus, because with this energy here right now, with all of the people meditating and gathering to release the victim type of thing, you know,
mm-hmm.
if they can enter in with that vibration and concentrate on releasing all of that stuff from their body,
uh-huh.
then they'll be able to hold the light as it comes in.
Okay.
You know?
Okay.
And so it's all our choice, you know.
Right.
We can either be in the fear or we can be in the love.
Well, that's a slam dunk.
Yeah. And so it's really important during this time period to be out of fear, you
yes.
know.
Yes.
And once you've released, you know, the dark side of you, then the fear is gone, you know, and the only thing that's left is light. And so what Meg Blackburn is talking about, you know, with this void opening, you know, like the void is considered darkness, you know, like
uh-huh.
in our body. And so with that opening and coming up, it makes way where the dark can be pulled out of us and the light can be born within us, you know, like the Christ light within us.
Wow. You know, I just thought of something that just struck me. I read recently that NASA and astronomers have discovered a literal void in the galaxy where there's no dark matter, and it's billions of light years wide, and there's literally nothing there.
That's so weird.
Yes. Now, maybe that is there's a correlation in the macro as there would be to the micro. You know, that might represent the void that you're just talking about.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it's a possibility. I had experience one time when I was taken, where I went to the void.
Uh-huh.
Oh, it was so weird. I was totally all alone in the universe. There was nothing or no one there.
Huh.
I was all alone. And it was such an eerie feeling, I'll never forget it.
Huh.
I didn't really like it because there was nothing there, you know?
Yeah.
It was really a lonesome feeling.
Huh.
You know, I mean, there was literally nothing there.
Wow.
Nothing at all.
I don't think
And so that might be what they have discovered, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Wow, amazing.
Yeah, right.
Either that or it's like that the movie The Neverending Story where the nothing is taking over.
Right.
We're losing our ability to imagine things, and the big nothing is expanding, so
uh-huh.
you better
right,
watch
yeah.
out or the dragon will come and pick us up and
uh-huh.
betray you and the rest of it.
Oh, this eclipse is on the dragon.
Oh, it is.
The Mayan symbol of the dragon.
Ah.
The September 11th one.
Oh, wow.
And the dragon symbol in the Mayan and the dream spell one is the symbol of birth.
Ah.
Interesting that you'd say that.
Of course.
Right, yeah. And then there's another thing. You know, the Hopis talk about the blue star.
Yes, yes.
You know, and that was happened in 1987 where the blue star lived with the supernova.
Uh-huh.
That happened at that time. That was a blue star that exploded.
Okay.
And then they say that when the red star comes, you know, that pinpoints that we're in the change then when the red star comes.
Uh-huh.
Okay, well, a friend of mine wrote this article, and it's on www.cyberspaceorbit.com.
Okay.
And his whole article is about the star Mira, you know, that is a red star that you can, it's in the constellation of Seta right now.
Okay.
And it's moving through all of the galaxies, and it has this huge, long tail with it.
Ooh.
And it's the red star, and so he's likening it to, and the whole article that he's written about is the red star coming,
huh.
you know, with the Mira.
Wow.
And so I find that's really interesting, too.
Well, then, you know, Sitchin has been, he has quite a few followers who talks about Planet X as well.
Right, yeah. And then, you know, there are pictures of Planet X on the Internet. And so I guess that's out there somewhere, too,
mm-hmm.
you know, and they say it's behind the sun.
Wow.
Yeah. And then we're in the photon belt, and the photon belt's getting stronger.
Ah.
And if when the matrix finishes going down,
uh-huh.
then all that light from the photon belt's going to be here.
Wow, that'll be wonderful, I think.
Yes, right.
It'll be transformative at the very least.
Right. And if it's happening like right now, it's going to probably happen before the end of the year. I mean, finish. You know.
So
I don't know how fast these things, you know, go.
Yeah. So basically, from 9/9 to 9/13, 9/14, and then what's happening in October?
You know, I haven't really focused on October.
Okay.
Because I got kind of stuck on September and December.
Yeah.
Because of all of the planetary aspects that are going on right now.
Uh-huh.
But they will continue through October, too.
Okay.
You know, and I'll have to look at that for, you know, when I write my next article in November, too.
Right.
But the most critical months are, as I see it, is September and December.
Wow.
But they will continue being, you know, and we're moving into the year of the earthquakes.
Oh,
like,
really?
Virgo is an earth sign.
All
you know,
right.
And it started out as soon as, you know, as soon as Saturn went into Virgo, there was a 7.2 quake, you know, in the... I think that was down by us on New Zealand, around there.
Uh-huh.
And then there's been other quakes since then. But when you have Saturn in an Earth sign,
uh-huh.
And then we're going to have Jupiter's going to be an Earth sign, start in Capricorn, you know, in 208. It'll be in Capricorn, which is an Earth sign. And that'll be in Capricorn for 1 year. And Jupiter, you know, brings lots of Earth changes with it. And so from September of this year until December of next year, it's going to be known as the year of the quakes.
Oh, geez.
Like this year, it's been known as the flood and the fires.
Uh-huh.
You know, I mean, they've had tremendous fires in Europe and different places, you know, around the world.
Uh-huh.
And then they've had the flooding because the planets, Saturn, Jupiter, and Pluto, were all in fire signs.
Mm.
You know, and so the handwriting was on the wall that this would bring lots of fires, major fires. And if you go to France or Spain or one of those countries, you'll say it definitely was. And Oregon had the worst fire season they've ever had.
Mm.
And then on the other hand, Uranus is in Pisces, and that's a water sign. And that's been there since 2003. And so the water continues. We'll continue having water events until 2010.
Oh, wow.
You know, because that is where they're. And, you know, I don't think I'd really like to be living along the Mississippi River right now, because that's where all of this energy is kind of focused into.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
You know, right now with Pluto and Jupiter coming up there to meet it, you know. And that's why there's been so much activity there, you know, with all the floods that the storms that were in there, you know, like last month, and then the bridge going down right by where I grew up. That was kind of interesting. I think that's really symbolic of, hey, time for the old to be gone.
Yeah.
And for the new to be here.
Yeah.
You know, so anyways, there's an awful lot of energy focusing into the that particular area. And it's been there since, you know, Katrina,
uh-huh.
which is just down at the bottom of that area. You know, and then, of course, all the hurricanes that come into that area, you know, that's kind of like been the focus of it. And then we have, with this solar eclipse, you know, it's going to be activating our president's war energy again.
Oh, it will?
Yeah.
Oh, great. As if it isn't activated enough.
Right, yes. And it's also going to, because Mars is on at this solar eclipse. And the eclipse, like I said, it's in effect for a while.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's not just a one-day thing.
Okay.
And so, anyways, Mars is on top of the United States Mars.
Ooh.
It's on top of our president's node, which is his destiny, and his Uranus. And so with that activated, expect the unexpected.
Oh, gee.
Yeah.
Oh.
And so, and then, this month, you know, the terrorist war has been Mars opposing Saturn and Mars opposing Pluto.
Uh-huh.
And so that kind of comes to a climax because, like on September 20th and 21st, Mars is going to be exactly opposing Pluto,
uh-huh.
conjunct the galactic center, and with that really powerful energy, you know, we're kind of building up to a climax here. I'd say from right now, from, you know, 9/9 up until the fall equinox.
Okay.
We're in a very intense time period where anything could happen.
Wow.
anything at all.
You know, it's ironic too that that 9-1-1 in 2001 that we're coming up on this eclipse, and it happens to be 9-1-1 as well.
I know. I think that's so interesting.
Yeah.
And so that's been 6 years ago.
Wow.
Since that happened.
Jeez.
You know.
That's amazing.
That's just totally amazing.
Yeah, it is.
It seems like it was just yesterday. You know, time is moving so fast.
It sure feels that way.
You know, it's just like, you know, you get up in the morning, it's no sooner up than it's time to go to bed again. And so we're going into the period of no time.
Uh-huh.
You know, and I think that, you know, because like we go into the dimension, we jump dimensions, you know,
uh-huh.
But there's different levels in the dimensions.
Uh-huh.
And my personal view of what the Mayan calendar is all about is I think that in December of 2012, we'll be in the time of no time.
That's,
the time will cease to be.
Yes, that's kind of the direction that I've been led to think in as well. Now, what that means, how that would manifest, I'm not certain, but...
That means we'll be living in the now.
And there won't be any past or future.
Right, that's right.
Yeah, yeah.
And things are going to manifest. After, you know, with this energy right here, right now, you know, with the light coming in like it is, we're going to start manifesting really, really fast. So it's really important for people to watch what they think.
Oh, yes. Good
it's going to be right in their face.
Good advice. You know, that to be aware of our thoughts and of our creation, because we're creating on the level of thoughts, and so many people today don't, you know, they don't, they think that that's not a realm where nothing happens and it's okay to think what you want and so
uh-huh.
on and so forth.
Can't do that anymore.
No, uh-uh. Nope.
No, it's just right there.
Yep. Oh, yeah, I've noticed that myself.
So if you think good thoughts, you know, that's really good.
Well, of course.
And so... you know, eventually we'll be moving where we create, you know, everything that we want. I mean, we won't even have to worry about money. It'll just be there.
Right.
You know, for whatever we need.
Right.
We haven't quite reached that point yet. So we do need kind of intermediary until we get there.
Right.
Yeah. But we will be approaching that, you know, as we move higher into the fifth dimension.
Well, in the meantime, it seems like a good idea to always do what you love doing.
Yeah.
You know, if you can't do it as a job or if you can't get paid for it immediately, to at least start by, you know, finding out what you love doing and then doing it because you love doing it, not because
right.
you need to make a living.
Right.
And I think a lot of people get confused about, you know, what they should be doing because of the money situation.
Right.
So.
And it'll just come, you know. And especially, like, you know, like Jesus says in the Bible, you know, find the kingdom of God, and then all will be given unto you.
Mm-hmm.
And the kingdom of God is being happy and you know,
oh,
loving what you're doing and just loving life.
Absolutely, and no guilt.
Right, no
because
guilt
there's
whatsoever.
There's nothing to feel guilty about.
Right, hard to say for a Virgo.
Yes, it is. I have to work on that one.
Yeah, me too.
Other
signs, I think, have it a little easier in that area.
Yeah.
Yeah, where guilt comes in big time with the Virgo. Oh,
yeah.
With Saturn being in Virgo, too. Because that's the sign of health, you know, or illness, you know, one
okay.
of the two. And so on the good side, I think a lot of people are going to start manifesting good health.
Ah, good.
You know, as they go into the light. And then the others that haven't quite caught up yet, you know, there might be different plagues and stuff like that come along with that particular sign.
Huh. Do you think there will be a lot of people that will leave the planet?
Yes, I do think so, because I don't think that there are a lot of people that just can't handle the frequency of the light coming in.
Right.
It doesn't mean that they're good or bad or anything like that, you
uh-huh.
know. It's just they came here for different reasons, you know, and
uh-huh.
and stuff like that. Because we're all part of God, you know. We're all one.
Right.
You know, it's
right.
just that some people are on different frequencies. We all have our own frequencies, you know.
Uh-huh.
And some people choose to leave, and some people choose to stay. And you know, it's a personal type of a thing.
Uh-huh.
You know, and so we just have to be happy for whatever anyone chooses to do. because it's their free will.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's just kind of hard, you know, when you lose someone that's close to you, you know, because it's, you know, the separation and stuff, even though we know that they're in a better place, you know, it's still being on that human level, it's kind of a hard thing to go through.
Yes, yes.
But well, the dimensions are getting, you know, closer and closer, and so there won't be that, I mean, we might even be able to see, well, people that are psychic can see, you know, people on the other side and stuff like that, you know. So it might be more people that will be able to communicate with their loved ones because, you know, they'll be able to see them and stuff.
Right, right. And then, of course, if our frequency rises to the fourth density and higher, wouldn't we be on the other side, technically?
Well, you know, I'm not too sure about that,
all
you
right.
know. I don't know.
Okay.
I guess I won't know until I get on the other side. I know that there is another side, you know, because I've had life and death experience, and the place I went was gorgeous. It was beautiful. It was
really?
the total feeling. I was just totally encompassed in the feeling of love, and it was wonderful.
Wow.
I didn't want to. I mean, I thought, wow, what am I doing here if that's what it's like on the other side, you know?
Uh-huh.
But I guess everyone experiences what they expect to experience when they go to the other side, too, you
right.
know? So
right,
that
right.
part, I don't really, you know exactly. I can just, you know, I know what my experience was.
Huh.
You know, but I don't know what other people's experiences are except for the people that have talked about their, you know, life and death experiences.
Right, right.
Yeah. But, as far as I'm concerned, it's a much better place than it has been here. So, but I don't know, you know, like what dimension it is or anything like that, you know. I do know that with the light chips, you know, on the frequency that they're on, that we're raising our frequency so we can meet with them, you know, because like a lot of the abductions and stuff like that were in the fourth dimension with the you know, kind of the lower ships.
Uh-huh.
And then the higher light ships are on, it's my understanding, from the fifth and sixth dimension. And so once, you know, we can actually walk hand in hand with them when we're manifesting a frequency close enough to theirs.
Right, right. You just recently did a wonderful presentation at Jim Gilliland's ranch, didn't you?
At Science. Yes, oh, that was so much fun.
Yeah, do you want to share a little bit about that? He, you know, his show comes up next after that.
I know it. Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, so we can lead into his show.
Yeah, exactly. Great segue.
Well, what amazed me was all of the orbs that are there.
Oh, yeah.
They're just massive orbs.
Huh.
And a friend that I was with, you know, her picture, it was just had all kinds of orbs around her, you know. And,
uh-huh.
and that's really the first time that I've seen the orbs. And
huh.
Isn't that kind of like what it's like when we die? We're kind of like a ball of light.
Yeah, I guess.
You know? And when you look at the pictures of the different orbs, there's some of them have faces in them. They have designs in them.
Mm.
And so it was basically like contact there, except that it was contact with the orbs.
Wow.
And I've often wondered, you know, like when people say, oh, there's all these people around you, you know,
uh-huh.
are they the orbs?
I wonder.
Are they the ones that are in that particular dimension? And is this the dimension that has the earth raised in their vibration enough so that we can see these orbs now?
Oh.
You know?
And you know, their people are taking pictures and posting them all over the internet as well.
Right.
I mean, they're clear, and it's clear that they're there. There's no, you know, it's not spots on the lens or anything like that. They're
no,
real orbs.
No, it's definitely orbs.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, and then a friend of mine, Rita, she was with me at James's,
uh-huh.
and she lives close to Mount Shasta.
Ooh.
And so right afterwards, she went up to Mount Shasta, and she was taking pictures, and when she got back, there were orbs all over the place.
Huh.
There, too.
Wow.
You know?
Well, yeah. I wonder, you know, Liz filmed a lot in Mount Shasta. I mean, everywhere we went, she had her video camera on. And I'm wondering if she is going to pick up some orbs. I took my camera, and then we were just so busy, I didn't have time to pull it out. But it's quite possible that, there will be something interesting on the on the film.
Yeah, it's a real possibility.
You know.
Oh, but it was so much fun being on his ranch, and there were a lot of people there, and a lot of really good speakers. And
oh yeah,
I learned a lot, and it was really hot there.
Oh,
you know, everyone was sweating, but the weather was perfect, and there was a lot of sightings that were made at night. And it was just a really wonderful experience.
Now, people can go up just about any time, can't they? Or do they need to call him and make reservations? Or how does that work? He's been showing people the ships for many years now, hasn't he?
Yes, he has, yeah. And it's probably nice to, you know, call him or email him or something like that,
uh-huh.
You know. But I think that people just kind of show up there, a lot of them.
Huh.
You know, some make reservations and stuff like that. But he has kind of like an open door policy.
Wow.
And he does have a place for, I don't know how many, several people that to sleep. Is kind of like a bunkhouse.
Uh-huh.
You know, and then there are places close by that you can rent a place too, you know. And then
right.
You can go over there at night and skywatch and take pictures of the orbs. And
wow.
It's beautiful because, like, his ranch is right. There's a big field, and then Mount Adams is right there. It's beautiful
uh-huh.
scenery.
Wow.
It's really, really nice, and it's a really pretty area.
Uh-huh.
And there's all kinds of activity around there. And so it's just a real fun place to be. And then there's a lot of room to camp, although when it gets a little colder, it gets kind of cold there.
Uh-huh.
The people that camped during the convention, you know, it was perfect because it was so warm out. But the temperature changes. I mean, it's really interesting because in the daytime it was so hot, you know, just sweating. And then at night, you had to have a heavy jacket on.
Yeah.
Because it just got so cold so fast.
Wow.
And so it's really fun with having a lot of people out there skywatching, you know, because then the ships come in and they do all these interesting things. You know, and they do the kind of like their acrobats in the sky, and
wow.
And it's just really fun. And his movie is out now. Contact has begun.
Oh, wonderful!
Yeah, and I heard that the people that back the movie The Secret
uh-huh.
and What the Bleep Do We Know
uh-huh.
that they picked it up to back it for him.
Oh, wonderful!
Yeah,
well, maybe
and I've seen it a couple times. It's really interesting.
Oh, good. Well, you
yeah.
know, we've just blown through our time now, so we're at 21/12/2012. We're
right.
at the end of time.
There you go.
Do you have any any last words for our listeners?
Well, I would just to say for them to put on their seatbelts because because we're in for a ride.
All right.
From now
that sounds good to me.
Definitely in for a ride. And to go by their guidance, you know, and pay attention to their guidance, you know, and you're in the right place at the right time, you know, if you're meant to be, you know, because you've chosen what you choose to experience, and you'll be at the right place at the right time.
Absolutely.
You know, just listen to your guidance.
Absolutely, and stay out of fear.
Right, definitely.
Mahala, it's been a pleasure having you back.
Oh, it's been
and
fun.
And happy birthday.
And happy birthday to you.
Thank you so much. And I look forward to what's to come and talking to you again in the near future.
Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
and everyone stay